Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. Hoping to wear the world's wrinkliest shirt. Anyway, I'm commenting on Dien Pobede, which was yesterday, Victory Day in Russia, where they commemorate the Second World War. And there's a song about it, calling it the Sacred War, and that's the way they view it. It's something like Dad's Unthinkable there. This is no laughing matter. Something like 10 million Russians were killed in that war. Military personnel, civilians, civilians often deliberately murdered, knowing they were civilians, taking them out, rounding them up, shooting them dead. Sometimes they were Jewish, sometimes they were not, by the Third Reich, by the SS, as well as the Wehrmacht. There's that myth of the clean Wehrmacht. And this is not being remotely anti-German. No one should be mistreated for being German or any nationality. So Putin likes to exploit this war and try and say, and that's why Russia's right to attack other countries. Anyone he disagrees with is a Nazi and stuff like that. And it's true that some Ukrainian separatists, they welcomed the Wehrmacht, partly because of Soviet genocide against them. Again, at least 2 million Ukrainians starved to death on purpose by the Soviet government. And Putin will try to conflate the Soviet Union with Russia, which it's not. The Russian Federation only had 50% of the population of the former Soviet Union, and so on, though it did have most of the territory. And so he tries to claim credit for anything good the Soviet Union did. But as Ukraine was 25% of the population of the Soviet Union, Ukraine's got to get 25% of the credit. And without Ukraine, they never would have won. It was quite a close thing at the time of the Second World War. But the fact that a few Ukrainian separatists took Germany's side does not delegitimize Ukrainian independence. There were some Indians in the Azad Hind Fauj, took the side of the Third Reich in Japan. That doesn't mean that Japan has no right to independence, or Croatia, or Slovakia, or whatever, a lot of those countries which subsequently became independent. That would be preposterous. And obviously the Soviet Union started the Second World War, along with Germany, by invading Poland in September 1939. So what lesson do we learn from the Second World War in Western Europe? And that is, you know, you've got to challenge totalitarianism, to call out the tyrants, to say human rights, to speak up for persecuted minorities, to uphold democracy, and so on. But in Russia, it's the opposite. It's no, you've got to obey the tyrant, because only Stalin is the one who stopped the Third Reich. And any dissent, that is Nazism in disguise. That's what Putin was trying to do. He tries to militarize childhood, having little children going around. I mean, like, really, they're like toddlers in Second World War era uniforms. Now, I'm not against children dressing up in soldiers' uniforms as they want to, or, you know, carrying toy guns and saying bang and stuff like that. But it can reach a level where it's worrying, and it troubles me that trying to brainwash them from that age, important conversations, that once that subject, military patriotic education, which really means chauvinism, which means xenophobia, which means militarism, to inculcate them into Putin's death cult, and that the Soviet Union saved the world. Now, it's true that the 75% of the Wehrmacht was fighting on the Eastern Front, most of the Romanian, Hungarian armies and so on. And it's true that Romania changed sides later on. Got to ask, why was Romania on that side anyway? It's because they've been invaded by the Soviets in 1940, who took Moldova. So the Soviet Union hadn't been so aggressive, they wouldn't have so many enemies. And the same is true of Finland and so forth. And nobody doubts that Finland has the right to be independent, despite the fact that, yeah, Finland threw in its lot with the Third Reich in 1941 because they'd been attacked by the Soviets a few years earlier. But you know, it's obviously, there's a selective reading of it. Anyway, if you go back to 50th anniversary at the end of the Second World War, the 60th anniversary, these Jubilee years, loads of world leaders were there, but not this time. Mostly leaders in the former Soviet Union, the three Baltic republics, who sent anyone, Ukraine, obviously. I think all the others went, actually, so that was quite a good turnout for him. But the president of Brazil, Lula Inácio da Silva, Xi Jinping, Narendra Modi declined. The president of India didn't go either, because they don't want to have to play second fielding to Xi Jinping, especially this time of low-level conflict against Pakistan, maybe leading to full conflict. And who else was there? The disgracefully Robert Fico, the prime minister of Slovakia. The only NATO and EU country to send a leader. Now, this is the thing is, debate is the European Union a sovereign state or not? Is Minna have a common foreign policy, which he's support in a spirit of loyalty, but he's able to do off his own thing. Now, I'm a European citizen. I don't want to be. I can't secede personally from the European Union. I'd like to the Republic of Ireland to leave, but I recognise that's not going to happen anytime soon with over 97% support for membership. But I can see that, you know, the European Union sort of needs to go one way or the other. They stop being a union, going back to the economic community, or indeed have a proper foreign policy with like one embassy in Moscow, not 27, which pursues one policy. And so there he is, partly because he's getting cheaper oil and gas and so on. He's cut off all arms shipments to the Ukrainians, and then other European Union countries might be tempted to follow suit. The president of Serbia, partly okay, a Slavonic Orthodox Christian country. We've got so much in common. But remember, Serb nationalists, they were also demonized by the Soviet Union. And it's true, the Chetniks, the Serb nationalists, was Yugoslavia in those days, but they're really about Serbia. Some of them even collaborated with Germany and Italy. But somehow that doesn't delegitimize Serbia in Putin's view. So it's much diminished. You see so many world leaders there before. The parade is smaller than before, not so many tanks and so on. There's very little to celebrate. And this 3-day ceasefire, which is a massive lie, as usual, loads of firing. Only someone as stupid as Trump would actually believe in any Putin ceasefires. He lies and lies and lies. He was doing that very cynically because he was scared the Ukrainians would target the parade. Would they have done that if they could? I mean, I'm sure there was massive air defense around the Red Square because it was a sitting duck, thousands of soldiers. But that would that have been too provocative? They thought that Russia might go nuclear if they did that. On the other hand, there are they practice for a few days running up to that. You could have hit one of the smaller ones and cancelled the main parade. I think the Ukrainians would have done it if they could have, and they did. They did buzz the Moscow airport some days beforehand, partly to so that when Xi Jinping arrives and things are in chaos and Chinese ambassador got to say, you know, Russia can't defend their airspace. There was some chance that Xi Jinping might even cancel, but obviously the Ukrainians really would not want to kill him, so to be quite careful not to come anywhere near him because they don't want the Chinese to be even more supportive of Russia than they are already. Also said that say the Chinese have got quite a lot of leverage to the North Koreans. Yeah, go ahead. Send tens of thousands more troops, do it again. Yeah, so I'm surprised the Ukrainians didn't do more attacks right beforehand. Some of the smaller scale parades close to the Ukrainian frontier or in Russian occupied Ukraine didn't go ahead, partly because of this. It's not the huge show that Putin would like it to be. And it's a genuinely impressive extravaganza. I'm not even Russian, but you know, I feel some emotional pull of it. Yeah, it's a magnificent display of military prowess. The thing is, some of these are show horse units. They don't actually involve equines, but they practice all year for that. So yes, they're quite good at stomping across Red Square, but that doesn't mean they're actually that good at fighting. You know, partly because their equipment is inferior, poorly led, endemic corruption and stuff like that. People promoted an ideological basis, and partly because I suppose they've got political commissars, as it were, the FSB in units spying on them because they don't trust their own army could turn against Putin, as sort of happened in 2023. So that's it. It'll be last Jubilee year parade, which many veterans will be alive. Come to the 100th anniversary, virtually none of them will be alive because the veterans now are mostly about age about 100, and they were often like privates by the end of the war. So come down the centenary, there'll be almost nobody, no living memory of that. Goodness, but yeah, obviously not to be glorifying war, and that's what Putin is doing, because it's supposed to be a war against tyranny, and it doesn't sit well with allies, the Western allies. To remember, they won because of a genocidal tyranny in the Soviet Union, and that Stalin was cruel enough to win, to throw away the lives of his soldiers, to terrorize people who'd had to survive by cooperating with the occupation authorities and so on, to have slave labor, and it was genuine slavery in the Soviet Union, so the economy could win. And you know, Western allies don't like to face up to that and pretend it was all about democracy and that you could win while having human rights, and you must never use torture, which the Soviet Union most certainly did use, and all allied nations use. Not on such a scale, maybe not so severe, but people shouldn't kid themselves. Oh, we did this for free speech. Well, free speech wasn't allowed in the Second World War. If you actually upheld human rights, then you wouldn't have won the war. And that is the unenviable choice that people have to make. A lot of people will not confront the truth and the dilemma. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan790@gmail.com. Goodbye.